I'll be reading from Acts 9. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Isn't it a beautiful day? Man, the sun is shining. What a fantastic, fantastic day. I think I'm a little hot. A little hot. Mike's a little hot. Huh? Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. It's the first time you've ever shared that in public, Steve. Yeah. So good to be with all of you. I just feel the love. We're glad everybody's here. We got several visitors. We're just proud you're with us. Glad to have everybody here today. I know we've had quite a bit of sickness going through. We've got some here that have been sick this week and some that are out that are sick. And so tonight is our small, our home Bible studies. And so Rob's group, we're going to meet here tonight. I don't think it's our assigned night. We're going to be here anyway because Rob and Candy are sick and some other of our group have been sick. And so instead of going to someone's home tonight, we're just going to meet here at 6 o'clock. So I don't know, is there another group meeting here as well?
Stan's group is supposed to be here.
Stan's group, yeah, y'all mind, we might meet together. We can separate, we can do whatever, but we're just going to meet here tonight. So hope you can join us there. If you've not been a part of our studies, come tonight and be with us. Man, we had a great day yesterday. We had breakfast with Santa Claus. Santa and Miss Claus were able to come in and be with us yesterday. And we sacrificed a lot of pigs. That's all I know. I believe the people in Milton can eat more bacon per capita than any other group of people in the world. Because we fried a bunch of bacon, and about 9:20, we were frying more bacon. So, but it was good. We had a great time. Lots of visitors with us, and lots of young people, and just in a good mood. It was just a good time. It's from Thanksgiving to New Year's is one of my favorite times of the year. I'm glad y'all don't have tomatoes. That's all I got to say this morning. So, but we did have fun. For everybody that worked hard on that yesterday, that was a good time. And I know many of you were able to be here, but that was a lot of fun. I was hoping we'd have Rob's Christmas picture up this morning, but I guess, do we not have that? All right, might make the announcements. I'll leave that alone then. Rob was not feeling well, bless his heart, but he still came and got everything fixed up. And so I think there are pictures this morning. Is that right, after service? If you want some pictures made, the closets had to go back, but we still have the thing set up if you'd like a picture made. We're going to talk this morning. Again, this is Saul's conversion. And as I've shared with you, because I just think it's phenomenal that it's really recorded three times in the book of Acts as it occurs kind of chronologically here in the story, and then as Paul will recount it later on in the book of Acts. But let's just think about this thought. It's really the point I want us to make this morning. Saul's conversion. Saul was converted. What does that mean? Saul was changed. All right? Saul was changed. Now, who is Saul? We've talked about it, but I want to get this in perspective. Because, remember, Ananias is told, go see Saul of Tarsus. And what's Ananias' response to going and seeing Saul of Tarsus? I've heard all kind of things about this Saul, and that he has authority from the high priest to throw us in jail, to drag us out of the synagogue. Who is us? Believers in Jesus. Followers of Jesus. Believers that Jesus was the Messiah. That he has the authority to drag us out and throw us in prison. And to beat us. And even, as we see at the stoning of Stephen, put us to death. And you want me to go see him? I get the reluctance, don't you? Because it says, Luke says of Saul, that he's breathing out threats. I mean, again, I shared with you, I think it was last week, I just get the image kind of a dragon. It's just breathing fire. I mean, just Saul's life is consumed with purging the synagogues and Judaism of the followers of Jesus. Why? Because Saul thought they were blaspheming against God. He thought they were false prophets. He thought they were mistaken. His conscience is good, but he's on fire doing the wrong thing. But he is intense and committed to doing the wrong thing. Saul has bought in. Saul is committed to this. He's not just contributing, he's committed. I've shared with you the difference between commitment and contribution, right? You remember the difference between commitment and contribution? When you have bacon and eggs for breakfast, the hen contributed, the hog was committed. All right? Saul was committed. He was all in to persecuting Christians. And so Ananias, who is a believer in Jesus, doesn't want to go. Because what's his thoughts? I go beat this man. He's committed. My life's in danger. My family's life's in danger. Maybe the people that are around me, will they torture me to try to find out who else are believers? But Ananias goes. We'll talk about that more, but that's not going to be this morning's lesson. I want us to talk about Saul. Because people are afraid of Saul, and rightly so. Saul is committed to persecuting Christians because he thinks it's the right thing, but he's all into that. With all of his being, with all his influence, with all of his authority, with all of his power, he is going out, leaving home, and persecuting Christians. And God sends Ananias. Jesus appears to Saul because what? Saul is going to be changed. Saul is going to be converted. And not only is he going to change from persecuting Christians, he is God's chosen vessel to carry the news of Jesus to the Gentiles and to their rulers. That's what Luke tells us. God says, I've chosen Saul to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Luke doesn't record this, but knowing human nature, I think Ananias has got to be thinking, Lord, with all due respect, have you lost your mind? I mean, think about it. A man who is, with all of his being, persecuting Jesus. And he is going to then become the spokesman to the majority of the world. Not only in the first century, but he's still speaking to us today, 2,000 years later, through his writings. I mean, we get to see the end of the story, but I understand Ananias' reluctance, hesitation, and confusion because of who Saul is. But here's this morning's lesson, and it's not a long one. But it's a little bit difficult because it cuts against our nature and our grain a little bit. And I don't think we can help it. the Word of God and the power of God changes people. That's the lesson this morning. The power of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God changes people. Because Saul was as opposed to Jesus as he could be. And yet he is going to become not only a follower of Jesus, he's not only going to cease persecuting Christians and become a Christian, he is going to become a driving force in the spread of Christianity. He is going to carry the Christian message across the world and across time in his writings. Saul converted. Saul made a change, but it wasn't Saul pulling himself up by his bootstraps. It was Saul being changed by the power of God. Now, is that unique? I'm going to argue that it is not. That the Word of God and the Spirit of God has the power to change all of us and all the people we know if we allow Him to change us. If we allow Him to change us. But we have to be willing to open the door, right? And let Him in. Jesus does not force His way upon us. Okay? Jesus does not force His way upon us. Saul could have refused. Remember the story of Esther? God had chosen her and God had prepared her to deliver the people from the persecution that was coming, the Jewish people. Remember that? She's a young orphan girl, but she becomes queen. So God had placed her, had prepared her for this place, for this time. But she's reluctant. She's afraid for her life. And she really doesn't want to do it. And do you remember what Mordecai says to her? Her kinsman Mordecai, you remember what he says? He says, if you don't do this, in other words, you have a choice to do this or not do this. God has put you in this place. God has put you at this time. God has prepared you for this event. You can choose not to do it. If you don't, God will raise up someone from somewhere else, but there'll be a lot of people who will suffer at this moment because you don't do what God has called you to. But you have the opportunity to refuse. We all have that ability. God doesn't force Paul into this. But Jesus reveals Himself to Saul, and Saul recognizes that He is God, and Saul is willing to listen and to be changed. And Saul makes a phenomenal change. And here's what's interesting. Ananias is not going to share with Saul. He's going to share with him the salvation that comes through Jesus, which is great. But he's not going to share with him the glory that's coming to Saul. It's interesting how Luke tells. He's not sharing with him the glory that's coming to him. All the good things that are coming to him, all the wealth and the blessings that are coming to him when he quits persecuting Christians and follows them. What does he say? What does he say to Ananias that he's going to have to share with Paul? That God, that Jesus is going to share with Paul? With Saul, at this point, going to become Paul. All the things that he must suffer for my sake. Those of you who've heard me preach for very long at all know I'm amazed at the message of the gospel. As we try to accentuate all the positives, which we should, and it's just part of our marketing plan, just part of our culture. But Jesus says, do what? Take your cross and follow me, right? And his message to Saul is about salvation, that he is truly God, but you're going to suffer these things. I'm not promising you a rose garden along with the sunshine, right? There's going to be a little rain sometime. Right up front, Jesus is going to tell Saul what he has to suffer. And we know Saul suffered greatly, right? Not just being gone from home. Shipwrecked three times. Shipwrecked three times. We make movies about shipwrecks, right? The Poseidon Adventure. Remember a boat called the Titanic? I mean, those are films of the tragedy of shipwreck. Three times. He's stoned. He's beaten with rods. He's left for dead. These are the things that happen. But he follows Jesus. Why? Because he is convinced that Jesus is God in the flesh. And that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. And that salvation is found in him and him only. Saul is convinced that there is a heaven, that there is a God, and that Jesus has gone to prepare a place. And so Saul then is convinced that whatever I give here is of little consequence. Saul says, what I gave up. And Saul's an influential guy. All right? Saul is a man of power, wealth, and influence. You need to know that. That's who Paul is. Not only is he going to have to suffer, but he's going to give up. And you know what Paul writes to the Philippians? He said, that I gave up is like rubbish, like trash, like garbage, in light of what I've received in Jesus. The power, the wealth, the prestige that I have, giving that up. I don't mind giving it up. It was like garbage. I don't mind accepting the persecution that's coming because what I have received in Jesus, the hope, the promise, the expectations, the victory that I found in Jesus surpasses all of those things. And that's exactly what Jesus talks about when he talks about the man who finds the pearl of great price, right? He found that pearl that was worth more than anything else. And so what's he willing to do? Give up everything else he has to get the pearl. Because why? It is of exceeding value. Or the man who finds the treasure in a field. And he gives up everything he has to buy the field. Because the treasure is of more value than anything else. Saul, who honestly was persecuting Jesus and Christians, when he realized that Jesus is God's Son, says this is of the greatest value. And whatever I have to give up or whatever I have to suffer, it is worth it. Because the value of following Jesus far surpasses whatever the costs are. Even though to us, from our perspective, they seem large. In light of the value, they are nothing. And so this man, Saul, completely changes. And as intense as he was in persecuting Christians, that's how devoted he becomes in spreading the gospel. Telling others about Jesus because he understood that this man Jesus is God. And that he came in the flesh and that he died and was resurrected. And that he's going to return. And that for children of God, for followers of Jesus, in that return is the adoption, or we have the adoption of children, is the receiving of the inheritance of the Almighty God, of this perfect place that He has prepared for us. And so Saul changes. And Saul becomes committed to being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, because he believed. So for all of us, I hope you believe. And that you realize that following Jesus is worth whatever cost. Because the value is so great. And that no matter who we are or how far we think we are from Jesus or how far someone we know we think is from Jesus, that no one is too far. We learned that with the Ethiopian, remember? Remember when the Lord sends Philip to the Ethiopian? The man who by distance, by nationality, by race, by surgery, seemed so far from God. But God called him. And here's this man Saul, who is the most notorious persecutor of Jesus in human history. And God calls him and saves him and uses him. None of us, nor anyone we know, is so far away from God that he can't be saved by the blood of Jesus, that she can't be drawn to the foot of a cross, and lives can't be changed to, instead of being an enemy of the cross, being a servant of the King. Isn't that the wonderful thing about the gospel message? And so what's our role? One, to submit ourselves to Jesus. And number two, to spread the gospel. Don't make the judgment that this person, these people, this group, this individual is too far from Jesus to be reached. Because no one is too far from Jesus. What was Saul willing and able to do? He was willing to swallow his pride and change his direction. And that's difficult, isn't it? Because Saul had to admit he was wrong. Saul had to admit he was wrong. And then to change. God not only accepted him, God sought after him, didn't he? Well, somebody said, well, that was special. I've never seen a vision on the road. But I'm going to tell you, for all of us here today, we have access to the Scripture and to the message of Jesus. Right? God doesn't exclude us. We may not see it in a vision, but the story of Jesus is available for all of us. And we can share it with those who are around us. It doesn't take a vision for us to know the truth about Jesus. Then the only difference becomes, what am I going to do when confronted with the truth of Jesus? How am I going to respond? Am I going to continue on in the way I've been traveling? Or am I going to realize the great price that Jesus paid and the great privilege of repenting of sin and walking in His ways? Because that invitation is open to all of us and to everyone we know. Saul was not too far from Jesus, nor is any one of us. If you need to come today, won't you do that while we stand and sing?